Lord, we have heard the scriptures read. We have seen the scene in our minds of Jesus, the Son of God, under trial, being questioned, being accused, being abused and arrested, Lord. I pray that now as we look at these few verses together, you would help us see our part in the cross, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Well, darkness had been over the land for some time, yet hardness of heart remained. The Lord spoke and said, there's one more coming, and afterwards, you're going to go free. You're never going to forget what is about to happen. It will happen at midnight, so be ready. People killed the unblemished lambs. They painted their doorposts with blood. And at midnight, all the firstborn sons of Egypt died, and Israel walked free. This was, of course, the first Passover. Well, fast forward to the days of Jesus. During Passover, Rome would release a prisoner. Whatever prisoner the people chose would go free, no conditions attached to it. Apparently, it was a way of showing goodwill to people, to the people of Israel as they remembered their own liberation at the first Passover. Well, in John 18, it is Passover, and Pontius Pilate has in custody a prisoner that he is convinced is innocent. Pilate had examined him and found him guiltless. And picking up in John 18:38, we read that after Pilate said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, I find no guilt in him. Pilate's verdict is clear. It's not guilty. But instead of simply saying Jesus is not guilty, case dismissed, Pilate decides to try to have Jesus released as part of this yearly custom at the Passover. It is a move that is both cleverly, it is both clever and cowardly. Two traits which are often paired together in people. It's cowardly because if Jesus is righteous and not guilty, Pilate has just declared, he is not a candidate for this custom of releasing a prisoner. He should be freed on account of Pilate's verdict, not the people's choice. But it's clever, right? Because he is convinced that the crowds will surely prefer Jesus, the healer, the teacher, to a criminal who is actually a dangerous man. Pilate's probably thinking, if I use this custom, I can get Jesus released, who is not guilty, and prevent an actual criminal from being released, who I'm surely going to have to deal with later. And so Pilate comes to the crowds and says, you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews? Notice he doesn't even really offer the other option. We know there's another option because the crowds choose the other option. But Pilate wants it to seem like Jesus is their only real choice here. But friends, we know how the story goes, don't we? Pilate underestimated the hostility of the crowds in a significant way. Pilate says, do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews? And the crowds cried out, as they had apparently several times already, not this man, but Barabbas. And just in case we don't know who Barabbas is, John tells us, now Barabbas was a robber. The other three Gospels tell us that he was a violent insurrectionist who was guilty of sedition against Rome. Matthew and Mark actually tell us that he was an insurrectionist and a murderer. He was a violent man who killed people. A real criminal. So when John tells us he was a robber, it's not a contradiction. John is referring to his crime in shorthand because the word robber here just means one who seizes the plunder, which could refer to plunder obtained from battle, even a battle of a political rebellion. The word was not just used of thieves, but of violent terrorists or insurrectionists. John is saying this is who the crowds chose over Jesus. A terrorist, an insurrectionist, a rebel who set himself against Caesar. And friends, let's not miss the irony here, right? We heard during the reading that Jesus is being held on account of the false accusation of being a military threat to Rome. That's why Pilate said, "So you're a king." And then Jesus says, "My kingdom's not of this world." In other words, my servants would be fighting. And then later, Pilate says, "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" And he says, "No, he opposes Caesar." They've accused Jesus of being a political and military threat against Rome. And yet, here we have Barabbas, who has taken part in actual warfare against Rome. And he goes free. Let's not miss the irony. This story, friends, is in every single one of our Gospels, all four of them. There's not very many stories that we find in every single Gospel. And it's not meant to simply inform us of what happened back then, friends. It's meant to prompt us to reflect. And so let's reflect on this from a couple of different angles and consider our part in this story. John Stott once said, "Before we can begin to see the cross as something done for us, we have to see it as something done by us." So let's start there. The first thing we should see from this passage is, friends, the first thing to see is that we chose Barabbas. Now, you're like, "We weren't even there, man. Come on." These crowds chose Barabbas and rejected Jesus. Okay, let's start there and let's work our way to us. Why did these crowds reject Jesus like this? So that a terrorist and a murderer and an insurrectionist could go free. Well, Jesus tells us earlier in this gospel, in John 7:7, Jesus said, "The world hates me because I testify about it that its works are evil." The world hates me, Jesus says. In John 15:18, Jesus said, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you." And so Jesus has told us before this even happened that the world hates him. And that's what we see on display here, isn't it? The crowds chose a violent murderer instead of Jesus. Their choice of Barabbas shows how much the world hates Jesus and rejects him. But friends, if we listen close enough to the crowds, what we find here is that we hear our own voices in the commotion. See, even if you would choose Jesus now, at some point before God saved you, you and I were part of the very world that hated Jesus. Ephesians 2 says that we were all dead in our trespasses and sins, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air. We were following the rest of the world, which means, friends, we all hated and rejected Jesus at some point. We all chose Barabbas. So as we hear the crowd saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas," friends, we're meant to hear our own voice in unison with the crowd. Do you hear your voice there on that day? Or do you look on like a spectator who had no part in what happened? You hear your own rejection of Jesus in these words. Hatred, friends, doesn't always look like open hostility. In fact, for much of the world, hatred of Jesus looks like cold and apathetic indifference. But friends, this was all of us. Maybe it feels like a little bit of an exaggeration, but think of all the times when Christ was offered to you and you chose something or someone else. Even now as Christians, we do this, right? Your Bible is there and you sense the nudge from the Lord inviting you to hear and cherish the words of Jesus, to meet with him for just a little while before your busy day starts. And you reject his call and say, "You see how the game went last night. Wonder what's new on YouTube or Instagram." Friends, how often have we preferred hobbies to Christ? Think of times when Christ was offered to you as well, and you rejected his company in preference to the company of sinful, scoffing friends. Or perhaps you reject Christ in preference for a drunken party of people who are far from God, friends. How For how many years do so many of us prefer evil and sinful indulgence in glad preference to having Jesus? I'm not trying to make us feel bad. I'm just trying to be real. We were in those crowds that said, not this man, but Barabbas. We were no different than the rest of the world. Friends, how little have we thought of him that we reject him for such trifles? We hated him, friends. And as we listen to the voices cry out, not this man, but Barabbas, we ought to realize that those voices are none other than our own, friends. The first thing that we see is that we chose Barabbas. That's who the crowds chose. The second thing we need to see is that, as we reflect on this from another angle, is that we are Barabbas. Friends, we are Barabbas. And really, we chose him in preference to Jesus. And the reason we chose him is because we are him. We're just like him. We preferred the rebel because we are the rebel. One of the things that's so interesting about Barabbas is what his name means. If you would call it a name, right? Barabbas literally means son of the father. Bar means son of, and Abbas means father. In Matthew 16, you guys know this, Simon Peter is called by Jesus Simon Bar-Jonah. That is Simon the son of Jonah. But this man is called Barabbas. Now this is strange, isn't it? Usually the name of the father is used, but there is no name given here. It's just son of the father. It could be his name, but more likely, I think, Barabbas is not a name, but a description of this man. Barabbas was a real person. This is not an allegory. He was a real person. But in the purpose of the Gospels, friends, he represents all of us who would eventually become sons and daughters of the Father. And see, just like Barabbas, we were all seditious rebels, but not against Rome, but against God, which is far worse. Right? Barabbas didn't like that Rome ruled over him, and so he rebelled. And friends, we've done the same thing. And it started in the garden. We know the story, don't we? God created humanity to live under his good authority. He made us his image bearers and put us in a garden of yes, a paradise of yes, with one no. And instead of listening to God and obeying, we listen to the lie of Satan, God's enemy, God's traitor. In the moment Adam and Eve ate, friends, it wasn't just disobedience to God. It was siding with his enemy. It was utter betrayal by the crown jewel of his creation. This is why R.C. Sproul calls sin cosmic treason. And Ephesians 2 says that we were all following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, which, just in case you don't know who that is, that's Satan. That's how Paul refers to Satan. We all followed Satan. In our sin, we joined the enemies of God in rebellion against God's rule. And friends, that's what sin is. Sin is treason against God's throne. It's sedition. It's throwing off his authority and siding with his enemies. Friends, many churches today minimize the notion of sin. It's just reduced to making poor choices or making mistakes or breaking some rules that are really not that important, you know. But friends, we need to remember what sin actually is. It's treason. It's sedition. Siding with the enemies of God, believing their lies rather than believing God's promises in the good authority and the good laws that he's given us, friends. And so, just like Barabbas rebelled against Rome's rule, we have, friends, all rebelled against God's rule. We're all insurrectionists against God. Sin is flagrant criminal activity according to the High Court of Heaven. Just like Barabbas, friends, we all stood in chains under the sentence of God's righteous judgment. We are Barabbas. The third thing we want to reflect on here, the third thing we see here is Jesus in the place of Barabbas. This is so good. Can you imagine it? You're in a prison cell under Roman guard. And you know that any day, the guards are going to come and open the cell door and take you out and scourge you. And they're going to make you carry a cross beam on your shredded back. And then they're going to nail you to it and leave you hanging there for days, gasping for breath to die a slow and humiliating death. You know, as a prisoner of Rome, that Rome is going to make a public spectacle of you to warn anyone else who's tempted towards sedition. And finally, the soldiers come and open the door. Barabbas, come with us. Well, this is it. This is the end, isn't it? And the soldiers take you outside and hand you over to the crowds to go free. You look around and you notice that there's a man being taken away. Maybe you recognize him as the famous teacher of Israel, the one who some people thought was the Messiah, the one who some people called king. We aren't told how Barabbas responded, but he had to have known that the only reason he went free is because Jesus was rejected. Yes, the crowds chose Barabbas, but they chose Barabbas because there was another man whom they hated and rejected, friends. Jesus should have gone free, and Barabbas should have stayed in chains. He deserved the chains, yet Jesus stayed in the chains, and Barabbas walked free? Are you kidding me? Barabbas should have been scourged and crucified. He killed people. He was a real rebel against Rome, yet he walks free. Oh, friends, don't you see it? Barabbas was a murderer, a violent rebel against Rome. And what was Jesus being accused for of? What was Jesus being accused of again? He was accused of being a rebel against Rome, against Caesar. Jesus was accused of doing what Barabbas actually did. Jesus was sentenced for the crime that Barabbas actually committed. Barabbas walked free, friends, because Jesus suffered for Barabbas' crime. Jesus is suffering in Barabbas' place. Do you see it yet? Right? The word Barabbas means son of the Father. But who is Jesus? He is the Son of the Father. It is Jesus for Barabbas. It is the Son of the Father for a son of the Father. It is Jesus in the place of Barabbas. A son of the Father goes free while the son of the Father suffers and dies. We chose Barabbas instead of Jesus, friends, but God in his sovereignty was working all along so that Jesus was suffering instead of Barabbas. But remember what I said earlier. Barabbas represents us. Barabbas is a type, you might say. He is the son of a father who is guilty yet goes free, and he points to the greater fulfillment of us as sons and daughters of the Father who are guilty but go free. We are Barabbas, friends. We are rebels. We're traitors. We're seditionists, insurrectionists, treacherous people who deserve hell and yet are released. Why? Because Jesus stood under the accusation and condemnation of our sins. Brothers and sisters, it was Pilate's custom, it was Rome's custom for a prisoner to go free at the Passover. But amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It is God's custom for rebels to go free because Jesus was crucified as a rebel. God's custom is not once a year at Passover, but is available at any moment to any person who will simply bow the knee, call upon Jesus as Lord, and trust in him as their Savior. Friends, we chose Barabbas because we are Barabbas. And yet here Jesus is, dying the death that Barabbas deserved so that a thug and a rebel like us could go free. It's our story, friends.